Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Friday the 13th, September 13th, 19. Of course, it's Palindrome Week. You can write the date forward or backward. And it was on this date. I don't know if it was a Friday or not. But on this day, 25 years ago, then-President Bill Clinton signed the Public Safety and Recreational Firearms Use Protection Act, commonly called the Federal Assault Weapons Ban, into law. That came up last night with Beto O'Rourke during the debate, but we're getting ahead of ourselves. Lara Brown joins us now, our friend, one of our best guests that we have, director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. Good morning, Lara.
Good morning, Tommy. Thanks for such a nice intro.
Well, it's true. It really is. I tweeted that, too, as a matter of fact. So, did you watch all 3 hours of the debate last night?
I did.
God bless you.
I will tell you that one of the things that I just have to get off my chest is that there were some really great debate performances last night, specifically Senators Klobuchar and Senator Cory Booker. And I thought Beto O'Rourke had his moments as well. But what is frustrating is because of the way the media covered debates, we are only pretty much going to talk about, Julian Castro's swipe at Vice President Joe Biden, and the fact that because none of the front runners really stumbled, they will continue to survive, and essentially, therefore, they'll stay ahead and the polls won't change. And all of this becomes a way that the polls don't change, because the coverage ends up focusing on the front runners and the lower tier candidates who stumble, not the lower tier candidates who do well. And so those lower tier candidates do well have a hard time getting in the conversation. And the media end up validating the polls, and then we end up essentially nominating the front runner who has just been the person who didn't fall.
Let me tell you something, Larry. You and I like to think, are friends. We've never met each other, but we've been talking to each other for a long time. I can hear the passion in your voice. I can hear the anger in your voice. So you know what? We're going to spend the next 13 minutes talking about what you want to talk about and the way you want to present the debate, and not because there are numerous outlets to find exactly what you just said. So let's, right?
You're right. I'll tell you why I am passionate about it, is because I've actually studied this at the academic level. My colleagues and I have a very dear friend and co-author. We looked at the debate between Barack Obama and John McCain way back in 2008 and on September 26th. And what we basically found is that whatever the media expectations were going into the debate was essentially what the pundits said after the debate. In other words, pundits tended to justify their pre-debate expectations,
regardless of what happened during the debate?
Correct. In the post-debate commentary. In fact, my colleague and I had this whole conversation about how it almost doesn't matter what is said. All that matters is what the media thinks will be said, and then what they say later. And so as a result, we keep doing this in this country where we aren't really having a debate or a conversation. What we're having is a series of expectations that are either kind of confirmed or validated through the pundit talk. And then the people essentially don't have a way to change that. And this is where, you know, for all of the problems that are associated with Twitter and social media, I do think that those are really interesting outlets, because if you do follow that conversation, you will see that people were sitting there saying, wow, you know, Senator Cory Booker had a really powerful moment when he was talking about criminal justice reform. And when he was talking about how, you know, the everyday violence is in the community that he lives in, and that there should be changes on the basis of not just these mass shootings, but the everyday violence that affects so many people. And then they said, wow, Amy Klobuchar, she had an amazing moment in talking about, you know, the sort of issues that mattered to her and how she actually got into politics and what her story was with regard to her being sort of kicked out of the hospital shortly after her daughter was born. So there was a really fascinating conversation on Twitter, and most of that just gets sort of filtered out in the wash of, wasn't Julian Castro's swipe at VP Biden kind of a low blow?
We can take a break, pick it up here. We'll come back. Lara Brown, our guest, our friend, director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. We are discussing the Democratic debate last night through her eyes in terms of what was important, what wasn't, what were some of the most valued moments of it, I guess, and what the electorate could learn. 7:20, more when we come back. Time for traffic now on WWL. 7:24, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Lara Brown, director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. Our guest, if you're just tuning in, she made a great point about the debate, which is, and it owes to the subjective nature of the debate. If you make a prediction beforehand, and Lara, I know you're a football fan, right? If I say what's your team, the Redskins? Who do you follow?
No, I actually, so I'm from California and I went to UCLA.
Don't say it. Don't say Rams.
Sadly. I am a UCLA Bruin and I'm an Oakland Raiders fan.
Okay. Whew, that was close because we're playing the Rams this weekend.
No.
So what you were saying, I guess, is owing to the subjective nature of it. If you make a prediction on a football game and you're wrong, well, then you can't say you were right because there's a score and it proves you were wrong. However, in this case, the media can make a prediction about the debate, and regardless of what happens during the debate, I guess they continue the echo chamber by saying they were right, which affects the polling, which just perverts the entire process.
Yes. Yes. It becomes this complete sort of what we call in academic circles a tautology, meaning that it's a circular argument. So you say this idea that Joe Biden survived the debate, he didn't stumble, therefore he actually won because he's already ahead and he won't lose ground.
So
and that's so ridiculous to think, well, fine, he's ahead and so he'll keep staying ahead because he didn't lose.
And I don't mean to interrupt you, Lara, but in the time we left, I want to know what your thought was on a debate. You study this for a living. Who did good? Who did bad? Who made a point? Who didn't? Not as far as the television coverage, but the substance of it, if you understand what I'm getting at.
Yep. Well, I think substantively, Senator Amy Klobuchar was excellent on the Medicare for All healthcare debate. You know, she came out and she said, look, Senator Sanders, I know you wrote the bill, but I read the bill. And then she said, and on page 8, let me tell you what it says. It says that there will be no more private insurers. And she said, that's not bold, it's bad. And so I thought she made an excellent debate, you know, point in saying there is another side to this Medicare for All problem that, you know, the two sort of liberals on stage, Senators Sanders and Warren, really are saying this is the way to go forward. But I thought she did an excellent job of pushing back and saying this isn't the way forward. So I don't know that that'll come up. I thought Senator Booker did an excellent job in sort of talking about, you know, the violence in his community and what and why gun control is a passionate issue for him. I thought that in so many ways, Beto O'Rourke sort of stepped up to his reputation of him being this interesting, serious candidate that he was in the Senate race in Texas. I think you saw him kind of find his footing last night and make a lot of points that really mattered to him. Obviously, the tragedy in El Paso in his hometown really affected him, and he has become incredibly passionate about advancing an agenda where there's more gun control.
Could Amy Klobuchar or Cory Booker be the Barack Obama of this year for the Democrats, where they weren't given a lot of thought beforehand, perhaps, and all of a sudden they get momentum and Katie bar the door?
Well, it's all going to come down to Iowa. The truth of the matter is, what happens in Iowa upsets the polls more than anything else. And so we will see how those front runners fare in Iowa. I mean, right now, Biden is sort of in a tie with Warren in Iowa, and Sanders is in third place. But I do think that Senator Amy Klobuchar, because she is from Minnesota, she is sort of a Midwesterner and has an ability to connect with the people in Iowa. And if she ends up in third place or even in second, that would be a major win and could seriously change the way the race looks in New Hampshire and South Carolina.
If I had to pick one dark horse, it would be her. I don't know why, I just get this feeling.
Well, because she is serious and substantive and moderate, and at the same time, she is also sort of folksy and able to connect with people. So she does have a lot going for her. It's just been really hard for her to get any part of the spotlight.
And it's a shame that it comes down to this. It's not a pageant, but it seems like the camera likes her. She's very friendly. She comes across as very friendly, somebody you would like to have dinner with, et cetera. And I know, Lara, it shouldn't come down to that, but sometimes it does.
It does. And this is where our politics have become a little too much like Dancing with the Stars. Mm. You know, it's unfortunate that we are sort of grading them on the popularity contest, because really being president shouldn't be about popularity. It should be about, can you do the job?
Qualifications and ideas.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lara. I appreciate your time. Do you know who your Raiders play this weekend?
You know, I don't, but they had an incredible Monday night game. And I will tell you that I follow UCLA football much more closely than I follow the pros. And boy, it's going to be another tough season as a Bruin.
That's what somebody texted in. Ask Lara if the Bruins will win a game this year.
This one.
Thank you, Lara. Oh, by the way, the Raiders are playing, hosting the Kansas City Chiefs. You have a great weekend, all right?
Thank you. Take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.